Hey there, Greg Stanwood of Purple Row here. I'm going to try something a little bit different during the spring. Two or three times a week, I'm going to release these little mini-casts, sort of 10-minute or so audio clips where I sort of break down what's happening regarding the preseason positional battles and other such things. So I'm going to be voicing my opinions on certain players, how the team is currently looking to be assembled, or, I'll probably do one of these after each wave of roster cuts, that sort of thing. I'm not really sure how popular this will be or how effective of an outlet it is, but I think it'll give me, personally, a more satisfactory outlet than just typing the same things out over and over again in comment sections. I'll just link people to this, toss it in my SIG, or, you should have listened to my thing, here it is, whatevs. Okay, so spring training. We basically have four significant things happening right now, with the possibility of more showing up if we end up with something shocking happening, like this suspicious Troy Tulowitzki character making the roster. And in all seriousness, though, we have a really surprisingly compelling outfield battle for the two final bench spots. We've got Jordan Pacheco defending his backup catcher spot. Well, not really. I mean, we'll get there in a bit. Chacin's injury has sort of sparked an actual fifth starter battle, as opposed to the fake one that we were talking about before. And then we have the big question of whether or not we'll be carrying an eighth reliever or a second infielder for the 25th spot. Plus a couple other odds and ends to get to. As I just said, I'm really enjoying the outfield madness so far, if only for the fact that everyone has actually shown up to compete. How about Brandon Barnes? I mean, seriously, aside from that one day where he struck out three times, he's been completely awesome. He's not demonstrating a lot of power, but he's finding ways to get on base, and he's performing great defensively. He's really grinding it out, sort of that horrible Jonathan Herrera-esque way that we all hated. Just watch, Brandon Barnes is going to be on the receiving end of that ire someday, for all the same reasons. But for right now, it's actually pretty impressive. The spring is sort of it's an environment where you can sort of play around with finding ways to stand out, and that's exactly what Brandon Barnes is doing, kind of just being creative in the ways that he's finding ways to be productive. I spent a lot of time in the off season sort of reminding people of Brandon Barnes' existence. I guess I won't have to worry about that anymore. Corey Dickerson having a heck of a spring as well. And for the third place competitor right now, Charlie Blackmon hasn't been half bad himself. He's still very much in it. The Rockies have two spots for these three guys. You know who hasn't shown up, though, yet? Drew Stubbs has been striking out a lot, which is hardly unexpected, and leading off a lot, something I sort of thought would happen in the regular season eventually, but spring experimentation or whatever, who knows if it's legit. I still think that he's going to be our sort of pseudo Fowler replacement leadoff guy in terms of the sort of okay base stealing / striking out a lot thing, but of course he doesn't have the on-base skills, so I don't know how that's going to work out exactly. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is it would be really easy if we could just ditch Stubbs, which we actually can do in theory, but that ARB-level salary is going to give him a really big advantage here, and we're probably not going to have, going to have to end up sending somebody down from the other three. I don't really have a preference here. There's advantages to disadvantages to all of them. I've spent a lot of time on the comment sections recently talking about this issue. A lot of factors are at play here. Which side of the plate they hit from, how their bats compare to the rest of the roster, the general upside, variability in defense, especially now that Gonzalez is definitely back in left. I'm sure I'm going to be talking about this a lot in these little mini-casts for sure. Moving on to catcher, Pacheco hasn't had much of a chance to do anything, thanks to one of those nagging injuries that's kept him off the field. Mike McHenry hit a home run on Friday, but he's looked pretty sluggish defensively. McHenry's defense is interesting, because I was chatting with someone in one of the comment sections earlier in the week who mentioned that McHenry's defense, when he was coming up through the system, was 10 kinds of incredible. And the stats really do kind of support that, but he hasn't looked great since about the time he reached the MLB level. Kind of makes it difficult to predict, you know, how valuable he can actually be behind the plate. Ryan Castile has been sort of a standout in the spring so far, but he's also one of the youngest in camp. He isn't really a serious candidate for a spot just yet. You know, he'll probably be among the first wave of camp cuts here in a few days, but I'm really excited about Castile. I think he really had a breakout year last year, and I'm excited to see what he can do with the Drillers this year. So, starting pitching, Franklin Morales, Jordan Lyles. They've each had two starts so far. Both have been pretty similar, not without some peripheral traffic, but overall positive showings from both. I think considering the reputations they both had going in among the Purple Row readership, there'd be more incentive to go with Morales or with Christian Friedrich had it been Anderson or De La Rosa that suffered an injury, but I think both of them are still in the mix. Friedrich should get another start here in the next couple days, and he's been receiving rave reviews at camp. Like, I mean, everyone receives rave reviews at camp, but Friedrich has been receiving ravier raves, I guess. I'm not counting him out just yet. I'm still leaning in the direction of Lyles, at least to start, but if Morales keeps it up, it could let us customize the roster a bit differently, since he was sort of already projected to be on the roster anyway, in the long relief spot starter type spot. Now, the guy I'm watching the absolute closest, those of you who have been reading my stuff lately know, it's Tommy Canley, who I'm really excited about the chance to find a way to stick him into the mix. He's only the second Rule 5 pick we've made since I started following the team as closely as I do, and he's a much better fit into our current plans than Dan Rosenbaum was last year. The issue here is that the bullpen is already pretty full, and it'll likely take Morales in the rotation or committing to an eighth reliever to make room for him. Or doing something really weird and off the wall, like cutting Adam Ottavino or something. You know, that sounds silly, but, you know, last year we all assumed Josh Outman had made the roster, and he ended up getting cut sort of out of nowhere. With the year Adam Ottavino had last year, I don't think he's going to really have any trouble. So, some people have raised some good points about sort of the hamstringing of the roster with just four bench players. I mean, four bench players is enough in a small sample of games most of the time, but the Rockies experimented with the large bullpen a bit last year, and some of the nagging injuries we got where players were day-to-day and not really significant DL sort of injuries. They stretched the bench a bit thin. It's a legitimate concern, for sure, and it's definitely not a guarantee that going with eight relievers is the right move. I just kind of hope it happens for Canley's sake. It's early, but I don't think guys like Corpus or Nick Massett are going to get as much attention as Canley will for inspiring the team to sort of make things happen for an extra bullpen spot. Let's see. Paul Janisch is an interesting story as well. The Rockies' infield candidates so far have been kind of a disaster, you know, as opposed to the outfield battle where everyone's shown up. The infield's been kind of dead. We saw Josh Rutledge finally return from an injury today. It's too early to really tell with Rutledge, but the team definitely really wants him to make the roster. He's going to be given every opportunity to. LeMahieu has sort of struggled to get going so far this spring. Not too much of a concern this early, but it's something to keep an eye on regarding his status as a starter, especially when Josh Rutledge is involved. Ryan Wheeler and Charlie Culberson, they're sort of fighting different battles right now. As I've kind of said all offseason, I don't really see them as competing against each other. Really, Wheeler is competing against the sort of proverbial 25th spot as a whole, right? He is trying to prove that the roster needs somebody like him on it at all. Whereas Charlie Culberson is really more in direct competition with Rutledge and LeMahieu, you know, and Paul Janisch. If one of LeMahieu or Rutledge flops and they have to start the season in the minors, you know, that's sort of where we're going to see Culberson get some serious attention for a roster spot. They've both done okay at the plate, had some difficulties in the field. The Rockies as a whole have had some really ugly showings on defense. I think we've had, what, 2 5-error games, and then there was that four-error inning against Milwaukee the other day. I mean, you know, best to get it out now, but it's kind of ugly to think about. Anyway, my point with Janisch is that with all the nonsense going on, his sort of super slappy spring has gotten eyes on him early, which is exactly what needs to happen with these non-roster guys, because if they get eyes on them early, it's going to be harder to forget, you know, Paul Janisch when guys like Josh Rutledge or DJ LeMahieu really get going later on. I still think he's a long shot to make the team, but he's staying on the radar, so good for him, I guess. I think that's really the majority of what I wanted to talk about on this first mini-cast. Just kind of some rambling on the basics here. You know, go ahead and leave some feedback in the comments section. You know, will you bother listening to more of these? What could be done to improve them? So forth. This is really sort of an experimental little thing, and I'm not really committed to it one way or the other, but I often sort of wish I could consolidate my random stream of consciousness into one sort of channeled or focused area like this. It's definitely more efficient than spreading it around randomly in comment sections. So, yeah, I mean, this isn't really as produced. You know, when I do the podcast, I go crazy, I edit it, I take out all of the awkward pauses and all that sort of thing. This is really going to be the opposite of that. This was really just me kind of sitting here chatting for 15 minutes or so, and I guess it's 12 minutes and 25 seconds according to my timer here. Yeah, so let me know if this is cool or convenient or stupid or whatever, and I'll do my best to take that into account. If you have any other issues you want me to focus on next time I do one of these, let me know those too. I want to keep them mostly spring training focused for now, but if these are popular enough, they should be pretty easy to produce, so I might be able to do them on occasion during the regular season. So anyway, yeah, thanks for giving this a try, and take care.